A writer stands in an Arizona desert, knife trembling in his hand, staring at a goat named Betty. This isn't a scene from a survival reality show. It's a moment of reckoning. How does someone who made their living analyzing pop culture end up learning to slaughter livestock? The answer reveals something uncomfortable about the world we've built. It's far more fragile than we'd like to believe. Most of us live as though civilization is permanent, as though grocery stores will always have food and water will always flow from taps. We've forgotten that every empire eventually crumbles, every system eventually fails. The Romans thought their civilization would last forever, so did the Mayans. What makes us think ours is different? This journey from comfortable urbanite to capable survivalist isn't just one person's paranoid adventure. It's a mirror reflecting our collective vulnerability and a roadmap for reclaiming the self-reliance our ancestors took for granted. Before September 11th, America felt invincible. Then the towers fell, transforming anti-American propaganda into terrifying reality. The response was predictable. Emergency cash withdrawals, stockpiling antibiotics, ordering gas masks with Hebrew instructions nobody could read. The cruel joke? A fire chief examined those expensive masks and delivered devastating news. They wouldn't actually protect against the threats that mattered most. This connected to a childhood memory. At 11, learning about the Holocaust, a simple question emerged. Why did they stay? The teacher explained people kept hoping things would improve. That moment planted a seed, a promise that if persecution ever came, escape wouldn't be delayed by false hope. Then came Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Unlike 9/11, officials had advance warning, yet 1,836 people died while FEMA fumbled its response for 5 days. If the system couldn't handle a single city with days of preparation, what would happen when disaster struck Los Angeles or New York? The realization hit: nobody was coming to the rescue. Self-preservation wasn't paranoia, it was common sense. The hunt for a second passport led to St. Kitts and Nevis, citizenship in 6 months through real estate investment, a legitimate Commonwealth passport, and Caribbean beaches. Standing on that island, viewing a duplex with views of both coasts, the dream seemed perfect. A simpler life, an escape route, freedom from an unstable America. Then came the invoice. Over $500,000, payment due immediately. Signing meant taking a second mortgage, going deeper into debt while pursuing freedom. The irony was stark, becoming a debt slave to escape the system. During the first blackout in that St. Kitts apartment, a terrifying truth emerged. With no matches for candles, spoiled food in the fridge, and only a flimsy lock on the door, locals could sweep down from the hills and overwhelm wealthy foreigners in minutes. The police lived on those hills too, with loyalty to their own people, not rich outsiders. The escape plan had a fatal flaw. It solved the wrong problem. Geographic location didn't matter without actual survival skills. True sovereignty couldn't be purchased. It had to be earned through skill and knowledge. At Gunsight, instructors taught the grim mathematics of stopping threats. Bigger bullets create more leak points and blood loss. Their parting wisdom was chilling. Be good to everyone you meet, but always have a plan to kill them. Survivalist culture had its own language. WTSTF, when the shit hits the fan. EOTWAKI, end of the world as we know it. Bugging out meant fleeing to safety with your bug out bag, vehicle, and location. At Tom Brown's Tracker School in New Jersey's Pine Barrens, a different philosophy emerged. While survivalists stockpiled supplies, Brown taught complete self-sufficiency. How many people can take a walk for the rest of their lives and never need a damn thing from society? Standing in just a tank top beneath a no sniveling sign, he embodied his teachings: survival anywhere with nothing but knowledge. The sacred order: shelter, water, fire, food. After 2 months of training, something unexpected happened. A feeling of being more healthy, alive, and comfortable than ever before. The body was finally doing what evolution designed it for. theory needed testing. A simulated 3-day emergency at home, all utilities off, living entirely from stockpiled supplies. Day one brought unexpected productivity without digital distractions. Then reality hit. Bathroom issues, dishwashing without running water, and managing basic bodily functions consumed most of the time. By day three, the refrigerator was nearly empty and the milk had spoiled. Katie, who'd initially resisted the survival obsession, gradually embraced it. Together, they gathered sticks, built fires, and cooked chicken breasts over flames. Despite her complaints about handling raw meat, she produced the most delicious chicken ever tasted. Something profound was happening, reconnecting with fundamental human capabilities their ancestors took for granted. The numbers revealed everything. Three normal days would consume 531 gallons of water. This test used just 1 gallon. Instead of 121 kilowatt hours of electricity, just 1.5 gallons of gasoline. The waste of modern life became shamefully clear. Half-empty soda cans thrown away, food scraped into disposals, long showers, lights left burning. They'd become parasites on systems they didn't understand, completely dependent on infrastructure they couldn't maintain themselves. Despite elaborate preparations, real emergency experience was missing. EMT training provided exposure to life and death situations while building medical skills. Ride-alongs revealed unexpected suffering, mostly elderly patients, showing how modern medicine extends loneliness and pain for years. Driving home one night, a motorcyclist lay injured on the highway shoulder. Other cars sped past. This time was different, stopping, calling 911, using the first aid kit to bandage his bleeding arm. Something fundamental had shifted beyond pure self-preservation. Joining California Emergency Mobile Patrol, CEMP, completed the transformation. No longer just an individual, now SR-14A, part of a network. When a 5.4 magnitude earthquake struck, the response was automatic. Dive under a desk, check on Katie, inspect the neighborhood, call CEMP to offer assistance. The real test came at a devastating Metrolink train collision. Working as an EMT, witnessing the community's overwhelming response, local businesses and residents bringing water, food, supplies, the tragedy revealed something unexpected. Disaster often brings out people's best instincts. The Fleischian worldview, that people attack each other when systems collapse, wasn't the whole truth. That night marked a complete reversal, from someone who runs from disaster to someone who runs toward it. When that St. Kitts passport finally arrived after 2 years, it represented something unexpected, not an escape route born from fear, but proof of capability, someone who could adapt to vastly different environments with confidence. Watching the 2008 election results at Sugar's Bar in St. Kitts brought strange gratitude. Without the Bush administration's policies, this second home would never have been discovered. The Kittitians proclaimed hope for America, but hope itself had been revealed as ultimately passive, the last survival skill of the powerless. Action and preparation proved more reliable. Back in Los Angeles, life now revolves around community service, search and rescue, ham radio operations, EMT work, CERT disaster drills, even urban homesteading with backyard goats. These aren't hobbies, they're purpose. Those who run from death also run from life, while those who run toward death, leaning over the abyss to pull someone back, truly live. The survival skills provide dual benefits: peace of mind knowing loved ones can be protected, and capability to serve others until professional help arrives. What began as paranoid escape planning transformed into something far more meaningful. Here's the uncomfortable truth. The systems we depend on are temporary, but here's the liberating truth. You don't need to be a victim of that inevitability. True survival isn't about isolated bunkers. It's about becoming someone others can rely on when conventional systems fail. Your safety depends on what you know and what you can do. When disaster strikes, will you be the one who needs rescuing or the one doing the rescuing?